And with the evacuation of Fort McMurray, a city roughly the size of Prince George has been emptied by wildfires. Now, for half a decade, Kimununos did what she could to try and prevent that sort of catastrophe from hitting this city. She is a forester and the former urban forester for the city of Prince George, and she joins me on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
First, I'd just like to get your thoughts on what you're seeing in Fort McMurray.
Oh, it's really a shocking situation, isn't it? I mean, the images on the news and the videos that are being played over the internet is they're just a terrible situation, mm-hmm. very frightening for so many people.
Now, we're witnessing likely what would be the absolute worst case scenario any city would face when it comes to wildfires. And you live here in Prince George. How much do you personally worry about wildfires when you head into this hot, dry season?
Well, you know, every community, I think, is at a certain degree of risk, whether they're surrounded by grasslands or forest. Here in Prince George, we are very fortunate to have a mixed forest, a lot of deciduous in our forest, but that doesn't mean that there's no risk. And, we spent many years working to reduce that hazard.
I see. Yeah. And it always seems to me like as we start in the spring through the summer, the kinds of risks kind of change. I know that there's always kind of like a grass fire season. And then as we get deeper into the summer and things dry up, we're always concerned about the kind of the forests around us. From your perspective, what is the threat of wildfires to the city of Prince George?
Robert, wherever there's wildland, meaning open forest or open natural landscape that abuts a city area where you have neighborhoods. I mean, it's very nice to live next to a green belt, but you have to consider that space between the neighborhood, the backyards, the back fence, as you can imagine, and then the wildland forest. And if that space is very narrow and you are adjacent to a dense conifer forest, then that hazard could be very high. So you know, it's a matter of looking at those kinds of areas throughout a city, within a city boundary, or even at the edge of a city boundary.
Now, your work came at a kind of very interesting time for Prince George when it came to forest fires. This would have been just after the devastating Kelowna fires of 2003. Then, of course, there was the pine beetle epidemic as well, and all the dead, drying pine stand all around the region. What sort of work did you do to try, and prevent big wildfires during your time?
It was a really fascinating. It was a really fascinating time. The amount of dead pine within city limits created quite a concern, along with the large area of crown land within city limits that were potentially a risk to firefighting resources. So the province issued the city a community forest license, and we used that license to address the interface fire concern on crown lands, and then we addressed the fire concerns on all city-owned lands as well. So it was a very extensive project.
And a lot of people involved, because you're talking about owners of land, you're talking about the city, the province, you're talking about stands of trees that might be on private property. Do those kind of pose a challenge when you're managing fire risks?
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Within the city-owned lands, the city can do what they need to do. And then on crown lands, partnerships, the partnership that the city had with the province was fantastic. And we were able to access resources like the firefighters had come in and helped do some of that understory work that Dr. Burton talked about, removing dead and dying trees, removing some of the understory trees to thin out the forest. So we had a vast amount of help. But then private landowners, I know the province was doing a lot of education around fire smart on private land, but there was very little that the city could do until we finished our part of the project in terms of affecting those areas. But
right.
The city's official community plan very clearly addresses or lays out, maps out those areas that were and may still be a high fire hazard concern.
And which are those?
Well, there's a number.
Yeah.
If anyone can look at the maps online, and you know, that's something to consider if a new subdivision is being built, and the city has some bylaws in place to have developers affect or address the fire hazard concern along boundaries there. I don't know what the status is right now. I don't work for the city anymore.
Right. And now, but on that note, new neighborhoods seem to be popping up all the time. We've seen a number of new neighbors pop up, actually, in a number of green spaces near the forest. What do you think people should be thinking about in terms of, I guess, planning and reducing fire risk when they're, I guess, they're looking at developing new neighborhoods or building in a new spot?
The work that we did involved extensive modeling of these areas. So that's been done so we can use that information that's pre-existing, but also looking at the distance between your back fence and the forest area. What type of forest area is it? Is it all conifers, or is it a mix of deciduous? Or if even luckier is if it's all deciduous, which has a much lower fire risk rating. And then what kinds of landscaping do you have around your house? And these are just fire smart principles that I'm talking about. Mm. If your you don't want to have your wood pile adjacent to your house, and I don't think you can even have your house insured anymore if you have cedar shakes or shingles. So the kinds of siding, the building materials of your home, and so if you are deep in the woods, those are definitely things to consider.
All right. And now, similar to Kelowna, I'm just always wondering before I let you know you go. Given this tragedy in Fort McMurray, are there lessons we can learn from these instances? What do you think we can learn from this?
Well, I don't want to sound too cynical, but the fires in Kelowna came at a time when we were all facing a mountain pine beetle outbreak and created some pretty extreme fire hazard conditions for us. But those conditions haven't gone away, but our attention to it has dropped down because the province did do a great job of spending lots of money to help communities get more prepared. But we haven't had a terrible situation like that, so it's easy to forget just how volatile that can be and how frightening and dangerous. An event like this, although tragic and frightening, serves to remind us of the potential, and I think it's something that bears re-examining here in Prince George or in every other community, because forests change all the time. They don't stay exactly the same, and a program like we carried out, it requires monitoring over the long term.
Mm. We'll have to leave it there. I thank you so much for your insight this morning, Kim.
Thank you, Robert.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.